God's got a word for us. I've enjoyed listening to him put this together in my head, and hopefully you can take this with you. I've given it the heading, Christmas is where perfect love casts out all fear. Christmas is where perfect love casts out all fear. You know the verse in 1 John, don't you? What is it? Perfect love casts out all fear. Well, Christmas is when he enters. Perfect love enters the world. And so I thought we'd have a look at these three scenes within our Christmas story, which are the three probably the key players within our Christmas story, and they all had fear at Christmas. And I think fear can be very much something that can override our Christian walk in our day-to-day living. It can come upon us so quickly. And I want us just to see that it came upon them quite quickly at Christmas, the first Christmas, and how it was dealt with. Okay? It can be a paralysing thing, fear, can't it? Like I said, if it comes on too quickly, you get you're thrown by it. And it can throw you out. And you've got to really pull yourself together, otherwise it gets down the track and you're all a mess and things are all around and just falling apart. Do you remember when you were little, did you get scared and go into your mum and dad's bed? I did. I remember next door to us, I lived in Gomere, and our next door neighbours had a dog. It was a boxer dog, big dog, but it had a small kennel. And it would scratch in the night, and I never knew what it was, but I'd hear this. And as a six-year-old, I'm thinking, what's that? And it was right next to my window. I would run into my parents' room and go, help, help, there's something outside banging on the wall. I remember my son, Jaden, when he was little, he'd come running into our room, jump into bed with us. And I remember Kezia, when she got a bit older, because we had, Kezia's my eldest, and I had Jaden as well, the bed was too full. So I used to keep a little mattress about this big under the bed. She'd come running in, I'd pull the mattress out, she'd always bring a pillow, pull the mattress out and she'd lie down next to me, but I had to hold her hand until she fell asleep. So I'm lying there, you know, kids on one side and Kezia's on the floor on the other side, holding my hand until she fell asleep. I think to experience fear is a terrible position to be in. And it's sad that our world is full of that at the moment. Fear really does dominate throughout our society. And if you're on social media, you read about it all the time and it's bombarding you with constant reasons to be fearful. I read this, of course I went to Google, the 10 common teenage fears. Now they didn't give an age for this, they say teenagers, and I don't think it's in any order, but they said there's 10 things that pretty much cause a teenager to collapse in this world with the pressure that's upon them in the fear that it rages within them. There's number one, they said there's grades and getting into a uni or into a college, mental health, fitting in, physical appearance, romantic relationships, bullying, family issues, failing, their future, and then the world in general. Now, I was thinking about this. I went through these 10 things when I was thinking back to when I was a teenager. I don't think I carried some of these things. You know, there was maybe a little bit of bullying in my life when I was little, but I was a big bloke, so it didn't really bother me. But I don't think I knew much about the world either in my, you know, when I was growing up in the 60s. I didn't have social media to tell me everything that's going on around the world. And so there was so much of this that was not in my life as a teenager, but that's the pressure and mental health that has gone with this pressure in teenagers is horrific today. There are many real fears that each one of us walk around with each day of our life, and it can be any of those 10, I'm sure, even in adults. So this morning I'd like to look at some fear that came over those who were present at the birth of Jesus. The first one I want to look at is the fear of the unexpected. Okay, so I'm going to read to you Luke 1, 26 to 30. I think we have it up here. Is it Luke? Is that Luke? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read it from up there because it's different to here. That's okay. It's very easy to read these really quickly and not let it sink in. So let's try and get ourselves into that place. Okay. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." Now, we see a couple of things there. Mary was greatly troubled, and the angel actually had to reaffirm to her not to be afraid. He had to say that in this conversation. We're not told much about Mary's past, but I think we can pretty much presume it would have been quite a normal young Jewish girl's life. There's nothing to say it wasn't. What is revealed is that she kept herself right with God. And that's what comes out of this, that, you know, it says she has found favour with God. I imagine that she kept herself right before God as a good young Jewish girl. And she participated in all the activities that took her into the presence of God and the worship of her God at the time. Now, verse 28 tells us that the Lord was with her and she had found this favour with him. So she had this relationship with God in a day-to-day living. But the other thing it tells to us, and this is what the story is all about, is that she was engaged and she's anticipating marriage. Now, it says she was promised in marriage to a man named Joseph. But something happened. We all know what that is. Into this peaceful and this well-planned and prepared life came the unexpected. So an angel appears and starts to tell her of the plans that she had never imagined in her life. And any one of us here could not imagine, I think, what it would have been like to have an angel appear and say, "You are going to conceive a child." I mean, really? How does that happen? And so the angel has to explain this. But Mary's initial response was that of being in fear. So she was afraid, tells us. She was greatly troubled. She wasn't just troubled. She was greatly troubled. There's probably other words we could use today for expressing how she feels. But notice it wasn't at the appearance of the angel Gabriel that caused her to be afraid. Okay? But it was what that was being asked of her. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So it wasn't his appearance that caused her. To me, that would be enough. All of a sudden, an angel is before me. The spirit world has come through the curtain and is standing in front of me and talking to me. That's enough to put the fear into me. That wasn't the problem. It's the words that he said caused her to have great trouble. You see, I believe in angelic appearances, and it seems that they were not so much a problem back then, or even for people today, I believe, who live a simpler lifestyle. I think us in the Western world, we're far too sophisticated for that, and we don't have that experience. I was a CMS missionary with the Anglican Church. I was at Groote Island. I worked and lived with the Aborigines on Groote Island, which is the largest island in the Gulf of Carpentaria. I started out as an electrician, ended up being a youth worker up there with them. And appearances by angels were not a problem with them. They would talk to me, the Christian Aborigines that I were a part of, they would tell me about these angelic appearances. It was no different than me standing here in front of you. They would speak of it as common as anything else. I think in our fast-paced, moving world that we live in, we miss out on that part of God's world in us. And I think we need to be more visual and more understanding of the way he actually does work. But for the Aborigines, when I lived, there was no problem at all. And apparently for Mary, it was no problem either. It caused Mary to be troubled, though, and to panic was the unexpected thing that caught her out. She was worried about what was being asked of her. How was this going to alter her future? She'd had planned a lot down the track. It was all coming to fruition, and it was being changed by these words by the angel. And I think it's very easy to panic when the unexpected steps in. It just pops into your life, doesn't it? It's all of a sudden, and your peaceful harbour just becomes waves. You know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Up go the hands, the heart starts to beat faster, all the consequences come flooding into your mind and panic sets in, and you start to lose control. And the problem is it can happen so easily, and fear can actually enter at any point in our life. It can be the receiving of a letter. It can be that late night phone call. When you hear the phone ring at 1 o'clock in the morning, what's your first thought? Is it bad? Or is it, oh, someone's ringing me to give me some good news? No. It can be summoning into another person's presence. Like when my boss says, Ken, can I see you in the office in a couple of hours? Where do I go? I go straight to, what have I done wrong? I don't know why I do that. It's always about something I've done wrong. And because he gives me a couple of hours to be worried about it, which I then have to work on. The angel answered the girl who walked with the Lord by saying this, do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favour with God. Now, the angel had to reassure her that there was nothing to be afraid of. She just had to let God have control. That's what he's saying. Now, she believed in God. She now had to put that belief into practice. And that's what he's asking of her. And this is what we often have to do when the unexpected pops into our lives. We have to let God be God. And I think Brookie talked about this last week with Joseph. It's all about control, isn't it? We like to control our lives. But you see, that's what fear is. Fear is when we control instead of God controlling. Remember the story I said about my daughter Kezia reaching out and holding my hand? Well, I think God sort of says that to you and I. He says, hold my hand and rest. I'm here for you. Isaiah 12 verse 2, I think I've got it up there. Surely God is my salvation. Surely God's my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord, let me just say it again. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. I just remind myself, it's the Lord that is my strength and my song. I was reading this little devotion and I think it illustrates a way out of fear. And I'll read it to you. Sam was my best dog ever. A field trial dog who found birds and pointed them with contagious enthusiasm. Sam taught me the joy of becoming part of nature. If his point said a bird was hiding in a clump of bushes, it was always there. He was so much more than a bird dog, though. Often we shared together lazy lunches in an abandoned apple orchard. We'd have a snooze that followed. But late one afternoon, Sam and I became separated, and neither of us were familiar with the area. I called and I whistled. There was no sign of Sam. I had to get back to town for an important appointment, but how could I leave Sam? If he finally came back and I wasn't there, would I lose him for good? And then I remembered a trick an old dog trainer had passed on. I unbuttoned my jacket, I removed my shirt, and I laid it on the ground under the branches of a small bush. But I must say, I worried all night. But when I returned the next morning, there was Sam, curled up with his nose under the sleeve of my shirt. He looked up, wagged his tail, and it was like, "Where have you been, friend?" You can just picture it, can't you? His eyes seemed to say, "I've been waiting for you all night. I knew you'd come back." It's a good dog. And the writer goes on to say, later I wondered, when I get lost and fear sets in, do I have the trust to look for some part of God's word and curl up in it? And you know, it's his word that we actually have to take to heart and say, if I believe in you and I believe in your word, it's your word I have to put into practice. Because you said it, I will do it. And I will move forward in the light of that. To wait patiently, knowing that my friend will find me. I have to have faith in him. So there's the fear of the unexpected in Mary, but we have the fear of personal loss in Joseph, in Matthew 1, 18 to 25. It says this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with the child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You see, Joseph's fear extended from losing something that was very important to him. Now, he really loved his wife-to-be, and he wanted her to be with him, and he was afraid of losing her. You see, being betrothed meant being solemnly promised in marriage. That's what that word means there. It's nothing like engagement. We have an engagement before we get married. We have an engagement time before we get married. I remember Fee and I, it was only short. Some people have long engagement times. But being betrothed is different. You see, it was very serious and binding, and it was performed before witnesses. The marriage feast and that living together was a formal matter for a later date. Okay? And in a sense, betrothal was the marriage. Betrothal was the marriage. And that's why you read in verse 19, we read it there, you read Joseph is already called the husband. And in verse 20, Mary's already called the wife. Because the betrothal, the time period before they move in together, is seen as the important part. So they were legally espoused. But there had to be an interval of time before the two could live together in the same home. And of course, that implies both domestic and sexual relations when they move in together. And it was during this interval of time that Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. Now, Joseph really loved her. We know that. And because of this his devout love of God, he's left with two options. And we're told it here. First of all, he can institute a lawsuit against her. In other words, drag her through the courts and make her a public disgrace. That's one option. Or, two, he could hand her a bill of divorce. thus dismissing her quietly. He hands it over and they just separate. And the thing about that, there was no judicial procedures involved. It was done on the quiet. And this is the avenue, we read, he decided to take. Though even this wasn't easy for him to do. Verse 20 says he was going over it in his mind when the angel appeared. So he's mulling it over. Is this what I do? Well, I think this is the way I'm going to have to go. I don't want to take her through the courts. I'll give her the letter. But Joseph, we're told, was afraid of losing his wife-to-be. And just like Mary, he also had his dreams. He had his life planned out ahead of him. He was betrothed to a beautiful girl, and they were more than halfway through to their process of being married, and she becomes pregnant. All of a sudden, all his dreams are shattered and fear sets in. And, you know, it's in this world, in his world, it starts falling down around him and collapsing. You can see how much he really loved her. Even though she becomes pregnant, he seeks to divorce her quietly so that she would not be hurt by society. And I imagine that would have been one of the very difficult things for Mary, is the way she would have been shunned by society, being pregnant outside of the final commitment of the marriage. But he loved her, yet look what happened. And like Mary, I think we need to notice that it wasn't the angel's appearance that Joseph was afraid of, but it was the loss that he was about to receive. Now, we can all fear personal loss, can't we? Either it's loss of money, the loss of a home or a dwelling, the loss of the rental property you're in, loss of a job, or even the loss of a loved one, a child, a parent, a family member. A very good friend of mine this week was sharing with me that in their workplace, there's been redundancies over the last month, and people are leaving who have been there for a very, very long time. And so where Christmas in the past years have been joyful and, you know, there's tinsel and there's nothing. People are in a whole different point of view in the way they're seeing this Christmas because of the losses that are going on around them. It's very sad and extremely fearful for them. Will I be next? We've all been in it at some point. And who knows what's coming around the corner. This fear can, and let me say it does, hold back real blessings from the Lord. You become afraid to risk love. You can become afraid to risk investment. You can become afraid to really live, basically. And for Joseph, he was not going to lose Mary, we're told. And in fact, he was to gain more than he could ever imagine. So where he gets himself to the point of, my whole world's upside down, the angel comes and says, it's actually the opposite. Yes, you're going to have to go through this period of time of people judging you and questioning you and maybe being shunned by society because of Mary being pregnant. But ultimately, I have control. And you will work through this. You know, for us, we must realise that no one who walks in God's desired way should ever fear personal loss for his sake. And I mean this. Now, that doesn't mean you won't lose things. I don't want to preach that. Okay? It means it will not be lost without God recognising it and blessing you abundantly through it. That's what I believe. It doesn't even mean that it'll be easy. I'm not preaching that either. God's promise is that if you step out in him, he will care for you through the difficulty. He will care for you like a father with a child or a shepherd with a sheep. In fact, Romans 8:28, which is quoted quite often in this light of context, We know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, all things doesn't mean good things, great things. All things can be hard things, can be destructive things, can be hurtful things. But in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So we have the fear of the unexpected, we have the fear of personal loss, and the third one, I think, is the fear of being in the presence of God. And we're going to read about the shepherds here in Luke 2, 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." What we have here, I think, is that the shepherds' fear occurred because of the glory of the Lord. All of a sudden, a radiant light lit up the campsite and an angel starts to converse with them. And this is something that didn't happen with Mary and Joseph, as you can see, yet many times it's occurred in the Bible. You think about Moses at the burning bush. I mean, that was the thing that got him to come towards it. What is happening? It's not burning up. Where did the fire come from? God's glory, we're told, is revealed. The fire that leads the Israelites through the desert out of Egypt, it went before them. The glory of the Lord was before them. It seems that the shepherds were afraid of being in the presence of God. Now, the interesting thing for us in comparison to the shepherds is we actually have the glory of God within us. He dwells within us, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But in saying that, I really can't blame the shepherds. I think I'd probably be just as fearful, just as afraid, with the sky lighting up with all this myriad of angels. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews says to us, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I kind of go, yeah, I think it would be a fearful thing to see that glory revealed. But if you have something to hide from God, then fear is the attitude that would be reflected when coming in contact with the Almighty. But I don't think that was the problem with the shepherds, because the angels came to tell these men what had happened not very far away from them. They came with the good news. You see, the shepherds were afraid when the invisible or the unknown suddenly becomes visible to them. Yet the very reason the angel appeared is the answer to their fear, because a Saviour has come for you. So don't be afraid. You see, the angel proclaims, "Fear not." Why? He says, "Because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." That's you and me. "Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord." You see, all fear can be removed because the world has a Saviour. It can be dealt with. It does not have to hold us and grip us and pull us down. Fear can be overrided because we have a Saviour. Okay? This world was perishing, but they're told they now have a Redeemer. Someone who can bring about a right relationship with God again and bring us back into harmony with our Maker. And this is truly good news, which is what we celebrate at Christmas. It is the good news, because God wants to take away all your fears. And let me just say, when the baby got older, his words were this, as he sat on the mount preaching his first sermon, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? These little tiny birds you hold in your hand, are they not sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." That's Jesus' words. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. That's his promise to us. And that's why we do not have to fear, or we can conquer fear, because fear will come upon us. You know why? Because we are of Adam. The old man will rise up, the old nature, the flesh will rise up. But as Paul tells us, we are the child of the King now. Sin is death to us, and we are alive in Christ. That's how we rise up. Now, we will still fall to the trap of fear because it's the old nature, as Paul says. I do the things I don't want to do. The things I do want to do, I don't do. He gets tricked, but then he pulls himself up. And he reminds himself, I'm worth more than two sparrows. God knows the hair on my head. Which is, see, that's how wonderful he is. He knows that. That's amazing. See, in the person of Christmas, we can have our fears removed. Because at Christmas, perfect love was born, and it is he who can take away all fear. We have perfect love. So let me conclude. I think we need to realise that God will often interrupt our lives with his purpose. Because we ask, well, why does this happen to us? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? It's very easy to fall into that trap. But you must realise that he will interrupt his life, your life with his purpose. And in fact, the following verse of that, what I read, 8:28, all things work together for good that love God and are called according to his purpose, says this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's why Jesus came. He wants you formed into the image of his Son. He wants you to be like Christ. I'll tell you what, the only way he can do that to me is to cause me to be confronted with the wrong in this world so that I choose to do the right. Because you think about it. If your life was just good the whole time, would you even think about God? We'd be so happy living on this earth with all the good things. It's when these fears come upon me and these pressures that come upon me, do I actually go, I need you. I need you to help me. And that's him moulding and making me into the person that he wants me to be, which is Christ-like. The Christmas story shows us the power of trusting God's word, even when we don't fully understand what's happening around us. I think it's very clear. So here is some application for you. This is what you need to take away and think about. Okay, I'm going to leave you with this. Where is God asking you to trust him without having the full picture? Because there will be something in your life that you do not have the full picture for. And he's going to say, are you willing to trust me on this? Okay, let's pray. Great God, thank you for the Christmas story. It allows us the full picture of how you invaded our life. And we thank you that the invasion comes with an answer for us, and that we are not left alone in the midst of this world that continually strikes us down and can take us out so easily. We thank you that we have Christ who came as a babe, who grew up, who showed us the way to live through the words and the life he had. But in going to the cross, he provided a way for us out of it. And in his rising from the dead and his entering back into your presence, we have your Spirit who can prompt us in our day-to-day lives We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do that. That when the world seeks to strangle us, that we would turn to you. And that we would turn to you quicker and quicker as we mature, as we are formed into your image. So we don't have to struggle with the fear that can be so dominant in our lives, that can overpower us and cause us to be the weak people that you don't want us to be. We thank you for your strength. And it is all of you. We give you the glory. Amen.